Sing to the Savior a song of praise. Come, let us worship the Lord. Trust in His might, walk in His light. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Faith in His wonders and grand His ways. Come, let us worship the Lord.
Heaven's proclaim,
Jesus shall reign. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Let us worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Come, let us worship the Lord. Lift up your voice, sing and rejoice. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Son of Jehovah, yet Son of Man. Conquering Lion, yet suffering Lamb. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord forever. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord. Sing to the God of eternity, come, let us worship the Lord. He is the King, rise up and sing. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Sing to the Victor of Calvary. Come, let us worship the Lord.
Honor the Son,
Jesus as one. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Let us worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Come, let us worship the Lord. Lift up your voice, sing and rejoice. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Son of Jehovah, yet Son of Man. Conquering Lion, yet suffering Lamb. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord forever. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord. Worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Come, let us worship, worship. Come, let us worship the Lamb.
Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 5. Then the Levites, Jeshua and Kadmiel, Benai, Hashabniah, Sherebiah, Hodijah, Shebaniah, and Pethahiah said, "Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever, and blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise."
Forever, forever you are.
remain standing for prayer. Our Father, we just finished a beautiful song, The Comforter Has Come. We believe the scripture who says that God will send another one in place of Jesus, who will comfort our heart and mind and soul. Thank you, Father. Thank you. We are not alone in this world. We are not at the mercy of others, neither at the mercy of circumstances. We are in your hands. We confess to you that the battle is tough. We never know what the enemy is going to do tomorrow, but you know it. And we believe the scripture who said that together with the trial, you made a way of escape. There are many of us in our congregation who have trials, serious trials, but we have a serious God and a powerful God and a mighty comforter who will heal us. Thank you, Lord. Now we dedicate this morning to worship you and to say great things about the Savior of ours, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray also for our missionaries who are doing the same. Our brother Fred Lewis in state of recovery and questions about his sickness. Carolyn Ruth Knott in Sevilla, Spain. Eusebio and Maritza Perez in the beautiful city of Benalmadena, Spain. David and Denise Rhodes in Papua New Guinea. And Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala. The South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, the Christian Athletic Association, Daniel and Miriam Lacey, and Daniel now in Colorado today on the race there, and Martha Poretti, and I look forward, Father, as I fly tomorrow to visit the recovery center with Martha Ministry. Bless these people who bring the light of God to people in need. We are grateful that you provide for our church and continually provide in a way that we sometimes are amazed. Father, that teaches me as a pastor that I need to concentrate in showing people the mighty and the glory of Jesus, and showing people the kindness and the love of Jesus, so that they can concentrate in their business and you take care of our business. Lord, how thankful we are. How thankful we are that we have a God that when we do what you said, things rolls in a mighty way for us. Thank you, Father. And now, Father, we pray for those who are still in vacation, that you bless them. I know the rush is coming back, and we pray for mercies as he drive back from Idaho. And Father, Raquel and I will start tomorrow the long trip of 20 hours flight to Argentina. And even this morning on the phone, I got to talk to my brother, and that was good, Father. But there is a lot of questions that I have and a lot of in uncertainties that I'm facing. But I pray for your wisdom as I listen and as I counsel people what to do. Thank you, Lord, that you move my heart to go, because the Bible said if we don't care for our family, we are worse than an unbeliever. And I have to do this trip that I don't plan to. I don't want to, but I'm forced to do it because you put it on the way. And I want to show the example to my congregation and to people that we care for the family. Now, Lord, bless the service. Thank you for the songs that we already have, the joy of singing together. Bless the choir as they're going to bless us with their praises. Bless our brother who's going to read the scripture and made this service will give us such a comfort that when we leave this place, we can say that we have been with Jesus. Bless the offering and bless the giver. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you.
stillness of this moment, in the darkness of this night, I hear a voice so tender, I can see a wondrous light. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know I am God. Come find your strength in the quiet place. Be still and know. Glory I can see, shining forth in brilliant splendor, God's creation speaks to me, it speaks to me. Be still and know that I am God, be still and know I am God. Come find your strength. That I am God. Be still and know I am God. Come find your strength in the quiet place. Be still and know. Be still and know. Be still and know.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Book of Psalms. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 345. We will be reading Psalm 2, verses 1 through 12. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Psalm chapter 2, Psalm 2, all verses. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers have counseled together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you again for the Scriptures, that you have given us the Bible so that we may know you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As our pastor frequently says, reading the Scriptures is like reading today's newspaper. We pray for our nation, Father, which increasingly moves away from the biblical principles set forth at our founding, that we might return to the freedom that results from obedience to your word. We are grateful that you do not change and that your word stands forever. Our trust is in you, for you are faithful. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Bless him and guide him as he faithfully proclaims the true gospel. Give us ears to hear, that we may be not only hearers of the word, but also doers of the word. We ask that you would bless the ministries of the radio and internet and tape and CD, that the word preached would reach the ears of the unsaved also, and many would come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. And I just want to let you know that for those who request copies of the sermons, there is an insert in the bulletin with the entire sermon there, so that you don't have to use the pencil and paper, and you can chew on the sermon and write me back whatever I miss on it. Also, I hope you look in the bulletin, and God has blessed us with the largest offering ever in a regular service. As you know, we never take special offerings. I don't believe in special offerings. I believe that God supply our needs at the moment we need it. And we were a little low in our general fund. We have a large sum of money, as if you stay here for the business meeting, you will know, and the trust fund for the building to be, but not, there were just a little low on our general budget, and now surpass it with a great joy. When the chairman showed me that last Sunday night, I cried because I was a little concerned, but I will never let you know if we don't have money. I will never preach on money. I will preach on Christ day and night, but not of money. And he moved some of you to give enough to surpass all the records of our church. How grateful we are to God. How grateful we are to God. Now, please turn your Bible to Psalm 2. As you know, we start a series of 10 sermons on the book of Psalm, from Psalm 1 to Psalm 10. I think if I ask any Hebrew person, if you have your Hebrew Bible open, where will you open the Bible? Most of the time, I speak with many rabbis, they tell me in the book of Psalm. And it's just very popular. So let's pray before we meditate on the Word of God. Our Father, without your Word, we have nothing to say. And without your Spirit, we are helpless. Therefore, give us your Word today. And let the Spirit show us your way. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Psalm 2 in your Bible, page 345. This is the second study, so correspond to Psalm number 2. Now, just to refresh your mind why we study, I would like to bring to your memory that the reason why I was moved to study the book of Psalms is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, page 675. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. There the Bible says, in Paul talking to the congregation of Corinth, he says, now all these things happen unto them, unto the Jewish people. For example, whatever you have in the Old Testament is not just history. It is history sometimes, but it is a history recorded with a spiritual value that is for our examples. And they are written, they said the Bible in 1 Corinthians 10:11, for our admonition upon whom the ends of the worlds are come. In other words, the Old Testament, you can find comfort, you can find direction, you can find admonition. And it's good. So I said to myself, why not working in the book of Psalms? It is remarkable because in the book of Psalms, you have depression many times. Psalm 13 talks about depression. You have victory. You have sometimes history. Sometimes you have defeat. You are defeated. And sometimes you have compassion, expression of compassion, rather than going hard on justice, bringing compassion and so on. And so we're going to look at that. The first psalm talks about character. We remember that we talk in Psalm 1 about character. The man of God, the character that God expected from the man of God. Now, Psalm 2 is a little different and is going to talk about voices. And it's amazing. If you look in your Bible, you're in 1 Corinthians 10, move your Bible to 1 Corinthians 14, 10, and you will see an explanation of the word voices. The Apostle Paul, again, writes to the church of Corinth. And in chapter 14, verse 10, look at what the Apostle Paul says. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world. And none of them is without signification or without meaning. There are many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without meaning. So the world is full of voices. No portion of God's word illustrates this phenomenon more than this Psalm 2, my friend. If we have our spiritual ears open and our understanding open and in tune with God's word, we could distinguish and find the meaning of voices for our life. So here it is what I'm going to do to you. I'm going to mark the voices that are here in Psalm 2. Number one, the voices of the nations of the world. The voices of the nations of the world. These verse 1 and 2 represent all the nations of the world. Number 2, the voice of God the Father. When the nations speak, prime ministers speak, and kings speak, and emperors speak, they can speak by listening to God the Father. And then God the Son, who got an assignment in this Son. And then God the Holy Spirit, who got the work to do as a builder contractor. So let's look into those voices. And as always, we're going to look intensively in the Bible. And I give you the Bible page number. So what I really like is that you see it written. There is no better value than to see the written word just as it is. And may God give us the faith to believe it. Number one, the voice of the nations, verses 1 to 3 in Psalm 2. This is what the Bible says. Why do the heathen is the word nations, rage or conspire, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers, they counsel together against the Lord and against his, the word anointed is the word Messiah, that you know. Okay, against his Messiah, saying, let us break their bands, or the Hebrew is more explicit, tear their feathers apart. And why feathers? I don't know. Maybe they use feathers to cover themselves. But that's what the Hebrew said. And cast away the cord from us. Three things, remarkably, you already saw it here. They're over. The voice of the nation. There is a human rebellion. Look at verse 1. Why do the nations conspire? And look at verse 2. And the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, Jehovah. Why? You want to know why we cannot have prayer in the school? You want to know why we cannot have the Ten Commandments in the courthouse? You want to know why we cannot speak about God in public places? You want to know why? The Bible explains it. Romans chapter 8 and verse 7, page 665. Romans chapter 8 and verse 7, page 665. Look at what the Bible says. Because the carnal mind, take the word carnal, sark, and put the word natural man, a man with body and life, Because the natural mind is an enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. When you are born, those gorgeous, beautiful babies, it looks like mama or papa or grandpa or the uncle or whatever, those gorgeous babies, they have a natural life. And that natural life, as developed without God, they will be always 100% against God. You say, my little baby? Even my little grandchildren. Remember when I have grandchildren, I was in shake. That Yuri or Jacqueline will grow against God. That genius of my Jacqueline, yes, will go against God without the touch of God. And so we have in Psalm 2 the voice of the nations. By nature, they're against God. They are dissenters, don't we? Then number two, there is human apostasy. Look at it in verse one. Why do the nations conspire and the people imagine vain things? The word imagine is to think against something in Hebrew. You think, you plan. I'm going to have some plans against God. I call that apostasy. All right, and you know why? 1 Corinthians, go to 1 Corinthians 2:14, page 671. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, and you find it. Why? The natural man receiveth not, or does not accept, will be a proper translation. The natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can be known them, because they are spiritually discerned. Amazing. We go to the same problem. There is human rebellion in the natural man. There is human apostasy. Rather than say, I want to read the Bible and see what the Bible says. What the natural man is saying is, when you read the Bible, oh, that is an old book. That is no good. Oh, who will believe this book? Why should I follow this book? This is a Jewish book. One person told me, a Jewish professor at the University of Los Angeles, that they brought me to visit with him because he was a coach of the soccer team of the UC Los Angeles University, and they want me to chat with him. And as he looked at me, the person who introduced me said the wrong word. He said, here's Pastor Otero, rather than saying he's a player, Otero. He said, here's Pastor Otero. That's the way the people know me. He said, oh, you're the pastor? You're a soccer player? I bet you believe that stupidity of the blood of Jesus. He said, can you believe that? And he was jogging, you know, and doing all kinds of things. I don't say that. I said, you think I believe it? He said, well, if you're a pastor, you should. Well, the enemy knows what we have to believe. Not amazing? You know, it's just amazing. And why he do that? Why this imagination? It's because the natural man do that. Don't be against anybody. Love everybody, even when they are like that, because they need your smile and your embracement, and then say, I help you. There is human lawlessness. Look at verse 3. Go back to Psalm number 2 and verse 3 and page 345. Let us tear their feathers apart, cast away their cords from us. In other words, it's a defiant. It's a defiant. I don't want to. You know, this poor judge, I don't know if he knows what he's getting into, this judge-to-be at the Supreme Court of the United States, and I'm speaking in the year 2005. I tell you, as I read in the paper, I feel so sorry for him. I mean, the people are saying, when he went to school, he wrote this. And he did this, and he did the other. And you know, they're trying to put him apart. They're trying to tear his feathers apart. Well, there is a man in the Bible that has tremendous love for Israel. That man, short fellow, Jeremiah. The Bible tells us he's short. And when King Nebuchadnezzar from the Chaldean, any Baha'i Chaldeans here, all respect to you, because we had three or four families, Chaldeans. I tell you something. He came down, destroyed Jerusalem, but when he saw Jeremiah, He saw a man of God. He said, where do you want to be? Where do you want to be? He was in jail in Egypt for preaching the Bible. So where do you want to be? In my palace or in the desert land? And he chose the desert land. In Jerusalem, he saw the joy of building Jerusalem. But I want to show you why destruction came to Israel. Turn to me to Jeremiah chapter 44, verse 16, page 473. Jeremiah chapter 44, verse 16. And you will see why God has to discipline Israel in such a strong way with the Chaldeans. In page 473, Jeremiah 44, 16. As for the word, the people were talking to Jeremiah. As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of Jehovah, we will not hearken. We will not even think about it. Now that's defiant. I mean, that's defiant. Here is a preacher authorized from God. He has his license and everything from God, and he has been a blessing to Israel. And he go back to Israel and said, you are sinning. Please come back. And for the word that you taught, even they recognize. You spoke the word of God from Jehovah. We care less. These are supposed to be believers. Unfortunately, I have faced some believers like that when I counsel. I know what the word of God said, but I care less about the word of God. So I feel sorry about you. I feel sorry. So the voice of the nation, the voice of the nations are a dissenter. I never expect the mayor of the city of Morning Hill or the mayor of the city of San Jose to be in love with God until God touched their heart. All right? I never expect Senator Kennedy to be in love with God until God touched his heart. So whatever he says, I listen and say, that's had no value because he has no reference to God who is everything in value. And so they're trying to put apart our candidate to be as a Supreme Justice, afraid that he will follow the Bible. You know, that's exactly what happened in Jeremiah's time. And you think that we're living, one man told me, we're living in the 21st century. But I show you here, 400 years before Christ, the same story, fellow. As long as you and I have the human body and the human mind, we're all going to be in error. Even if we try. All right. That's the bad part. Now, put your seat belt. I went to Bonfante Garden. You go to a place that you swing, you know, you swing and you swing high. It's like a, how you say, ongo? A place like a, the word came out. It spray out and then the swing goes out and you really go high. And Jacqueline said, you tie yourself belt because you're going to fly. I tell you, I was so, I think Linda did it, but they told me, said, Linda did it, so you have to do it. So I sit down over there, and I tell you, as I pray, put your belt. Now put your belt, because you're a Christian, you're going to swing high. The voice of the Father, the voice of the nations, and every century until the Lord comes, is the voice of dissenters. I don't expect anything from anybody and any nation in the world because they are dissenters about God. Number two, the voice of the Father, verse 4-6. Look at what the Bible says. The laughter of derision, verse 4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. The laughter of derision, all right? Why? He laughed. Look at what God does. Romans 1:24, please, page 662. Romans chapter 1 and verse 24. Look at what God does. It's amazing. As I listen in every city of America trying to implant in the mind of people that there is a marriage fellow, there is a single fellow, and there is, I don't know what it is, fellow. You said, how a lawyer will argue that in the Supreme Court of the United States? There is a man, there is a woman, there is something. You know, that's ridiculous. Why? Because God is laughing. Look at Romans 1:24. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. God gave you up. And when God gave you up, God is laughing. As I tell you, they want to have homosexuality as a rule, as a common state of marriage. I'm going to leave them alone. God is laughing. And is leaving man to their own. Have you seen in the television and the news a man kissing a man and a woman? I just want to throw stones at the television, but I lose too much money. I don't do that. But it's bad. Why they do that? Because God hath left them. When a man persisted in evil, I know that God has left him, and I have to pray for mercy. I cannot condemn the man. I can be the man, remember? I can be one of them. So I pray, God, have mercy on them. In the same way you took me out of the soccer empire, take those people out of the whatever they call empire. God the Father laughed. Now in verse 5, Psalm 2, verse 5, God makes a remark of displeasure. He makes a laugh of derision. Now he makes a remark of displeasure. And he shows that in verse 5. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Now a remark of displeasure. God is going to speak in his wrath. And when he's going to do that? Because the world is going worse and worse. When God's going to do that? Remember, we study in Revelation, and the saints in heaven are praying to God, God, when are you going to stop it? Well, look, let's go to Acts 17, 31, page, I think it's 652. Acts 17 and verse 31, page 652. And look at what Paul tells the congregation. Because he speaks to the Parthenon there in Athens. He speaks to philosophers. And look at what he says. Because he is God, hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. In other words, God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world. And my friend, God have a mark of displeasure. And if God has to judge you, it's not going to be on a nice table. It's going to be on his wrath. Why you reject my word? Why you reject my son? Tremendous. A laughter of derision, a laughter of displeasure is the voice of the Father. And in verse 6 in Psalm 2, and a statement of disclosure. God's going to disclose something. Verse 6. Yet have I set my king, and the word set my is the word anointed here. Yet have I anointed my king upon my holy hill of Zion. All of these problems, all of these amazing work of the dissenters in the world will not stop God to send the remedy. Well, the Apostle Peter explained this. Let's go to Acts 10 and verse 38, page 647. Acts 10 and verse 38. Page 647. The Apostle Peter said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And so God the Father said, I will have a laugh of derision, I will have a remark of displeasure, but I want to disclose a secret. I will send my son to take care of that. As a voice of the Father. Yes, he's disciplined. Yes, he's mad. But he's loving, don't he? That's what we call Abba Father. He's loving Father. And we Christians should share that part of the Father. Leave the judgment to him. Leave the judging people to God. But we should share that part of the Father. It's just putting the shoulder with people, see if they can see
God.
Now the voice of the Son, verses 7 to 9, going to the Psalm. In verse 7 is the declaration of his purpose. What a Son will be. God said he will come down. And look at what verse 7 said. I will declare the decree. Here is the covenant. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. What an amazing thing, conversation in heaven. God to God, God said to the Son, today you will function as a Son for me. Wow. Wow. That's a declaration of the purpose of God. Today, I have done the decree. There is no other person in the whole world that can solve the problem of the world except the Son of God. Would the Son obey? Well, if you go to Matthew 1, remember Matthew 1:21, what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 1 and in verse 21, here is the purpose why Jesus came. And the angel said to Mary, and she shall bring forth to Joseph, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, Joshua, for he shall save his people from their sin. And God said right here in Psalm 2 and in verse 7, here is the decree. Today you are my son. You are the one that going to do it. Don't listen to anybody else. Don't listen to any person anywhere. It's only one person that can help your life and change that old nature into a new nature, is the Son. Why? God has decreed. All right? That's the declaration of his purpose. Then the revelation of his person is right there in verse 7. See, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. That's what we have capital S in the Bible. Thou art my son. You are the one to do it. And you said, and you're a Greek scholar, each time that Jesus is mentioned in the Bible was translated with a small s. But here is a big S. That's what the Jehovah's Witness deal with, you know, the little picky. But it's good. The Bible talks about a capital S about Jesus. Well, you see it? Romans chapter 1. I tell you, when Jesus was declared the full Son of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 4. Here is what the Bible says. Romans 1, 3. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared, remember the decree? And declared to be the Son of God, capital S, the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by what? By the resurrection of the dead. Jesus became the Son, the mature person, and the God himself when he was resurrected. He did the work of the Messiah. He sacrificed himself. But in the resurrection, we have the fullness of God, according to Psalm 2, the full decree. In person. So here it is, the voice of the Son, the declaration of his purpose, he is the only Savior. The revelation of his person, he is the Lord Jesus. And then the demonstration of his power is in verse 8 in Psalm 2. Ask of me, now the Son is speaking, ask of me and I shall give thee the heathens for thy inheritance and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. Do you remember when Jesus was on the cross and all these Roman soldiers around then? And people exclaimed aloud, he said, if thou art the Son, capital S, come down from the cross. Now listen, what verse 8 said, ask of me, God is speaking to the Son, ask of me and I shall give the heathen for thy inheritance. If Jesus at that moment said, Father, knock that guy down and everybody down. The Bible said that 12 legions of angels, 144 angels, all with super F-15, all flying all around Jesus. And the pilot was saying, just give us the order and we blow it. And the Son is hanging for you and me. He could. God said, ask me anything. But he said, remember when he went to the cross? He also went to the cross and said, Father, if it's possible for you, pass this moment from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And that's why the Father and the Son are in perfect harmony. And so a demonstration of His power. He has the whole power in His hand. Come on. He resurrected the lady. He resurrected Lazarus. Are you not amazed at those things? Imagine if you were just a pass-by person and He said, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus is just coming out. What do you think? But you see, when you have the old nature and know God, you don't want to believe anything. The Bible says even if a dead man comes from the cemetery, out of the cemetery, you will not believe it. Because you need the sparkle of God in your life. You need a touch of God in your life to see things from God. The voice of the Son, He has power to take care of you, to take care of me. Finally, the voice of the Spirit. So to me, the Son is the designer, is the architect. But the Spirit is the contractor, the builder. In Psalm 2, verse 10, a word of exhortation. Look at the exhortation. Be wise. Now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed. Be judges of the earth. Verse 11, serve the Lord. Isn't that fantastic? A word of exhortation. If you want a word of exhortation, people who go to college, here it is. Be wise. Doesn't mean study math or calculus. No, it doesn't mean that. Be wise means study God's word. Know what God said. Be instructed. Read. You have to read 20 pages for math. Read 20 for God. You have to read 100 pages for physics. Well, read 200 for God. Get instructed. You will understand everything. A word of exhortation. Remember that. Be wise. Instructed. And then for what? Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord in your university. Walk upright. Don't walk proud and tell everybody, I'm saved, you're not saved. Don't do that. Just show Christ and your kindness and your love and your tenderness. And if somebody asks you the reason of your faith that is in you, then show it with meekness. 1 Peter 3:15. A word of exhortation. Be wise. A word of invitation. Verse 12. He's the Son. Now, for Americans, this means nothing. To a Hebrew person, to kiss is to sign a contract of reconciliation. Many times, President Clinton, remember, had brought the Arabs and the Jew together, and they had to sign a paper, and they will sign hundreds of papers with no problem, because it means nothing. But then President Clinton one time did like this, and the Jew extended the hand, and the Arab looked at him. See, because if he extended the hand in the Western world, that would be equal to a kiss. So he'd never give the hand. So a word of invitation, be reconciled to God. Let me show you a verse in the Bible in 2 Corinthians 5:20, page 2 Corinthians 5:20, page 681. 2 Corinthians 5:20, who speak about that? They speak about you and me, our job. Now then, 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. He's the Son. Here is the message. Be reconciled to God. The Holy Spirit is saying, now here's the Son. Be reconciled to Him. Don't be against Jesus Christ. Don't deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't run away from Jesus Christ. Don't put away Jesus Christ. Believe in Him and be saved. Wow. Psalm 2. The Holy Spirit. Then a word of admonition in verse 12. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry. Wow. I read a little excerpt from Oxford University. It is better to bend than to be broken. It is better to bend than to be broken. So people say, I will never bend to the Son. Yes, you have to. You cannot be yourself and the Son. You have to be the Son. See, if I believe in Jesus, I lose my personality. Yes, sir. You have to be a person who follows Jesus in all your thinking and all your moves. You are no longer you. You are God in you. Would you like to be like that? No, he said, I want to be myself. Well, I understand. I understand. A word of exhortation, a word of invitation, a word of admonition. Remember how I started in 1 Corinthians 14:10. Undoubtedly, they are all sorts of voices in the world, yet none of them without meaning. There are all kinds of voices in the world, none of them without meaning. May I ask you heart to heart, which voice do you hear? The voice of the dissenters, or the voice of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Which is the voice, people, that you hear? Here in the auditorium, there in the radio, there in the internet. Which is the voice that you hear? There is an exhortation in the Bible in Psalm 95, verse 7. The Bible says, "For he is our God, and we are his people of his pastures, the flock under his care." And then in verse 8 in Psalm 95, God said this: "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as you did at Meribah." Wow. Today, this is the second opportunity, God is saying. Today, if you hear the voice of God, do not harden your heart as you did before. Listen, people, you maybe heard Jesus hundreds and thousands of times. Today, I say, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Just say, "Jesus, I don't understand anything, but I just want you." You know, when you become a believer, you don't understand anything. Unless you're in a church that the pastor feeds you with the word of God, you will never grow. And that's what I tremble when I preach. I'm a wreck before coming here. Because whatever I feed you, I'm responsible, according to the book of James, for everything I said. And I have to feed you the pure milk of God. And I'm a wreck, even though I'm 32, 33 years in the ministry, even though I preach every day on radio, remember, for 2-3 hours. I'm a wreck. I want to show you the word, the word. The word said, don't harden your heart as you did before. So don't repeat this. Don't say, "Well, the pastor next Sunday will preach something else." No, no, I will preach Christ. And the Sunday to follow, and Greg will preach Christ. And the Sunday school teachers will preach Christ. You better believe it. Because without Christ, we have nothing to say. May God help you. And may God give you mercy. We love you. That's what we offer you, Christ. We want to put a shoulder. But without Christ, we cannot start anything building in your life. But when you have Christ, you have everything. Remember, which voice, when you read the newspaper tomorrow, which voice do I hear? Whatever these newspapers, who is made by conglomerate consortiums, who has all interest in the president and everybody, do I hear them, or I hear the word of the living God? Father, we need your mercy. We need your mercy. We need to hear your voice. And we listen to television, and we read the papers, and we read magazines, and we read books, and we listen to the commentators or the dissenters. Oh, Father, help each one of us to dedicate ourselves to read more your word so that we listen to the voice of God. How gracious you are that you give us patience. And Father, the psalm exhorted, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Maybe there are some people in the auditorium or the internet or the radio who harden their heart to you. Father, open their heart. We love them. We love them. We only have one thing in mind, to love people. And we love them to know you. Have mercy on them. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Before the Prince of Peace.
Benediction, how beautiful. How beautiful the exhortation to be still, to listen to God's voice. Thank you. Thank you so much. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord may his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In Jesus we pray. Amen.